Blog Talk Radio.
Baby, when I think about you, I think about love. Darling, I don't live without you. Give you both my
Hello and welcome to the Art of Seduction, warm, wonderful poetry compelling you to the edge of your seat, sultry, seductive, and scintillating, ink to make you shiver, to make you sigh. I am Pam Ray, a poet on a website called All Poetry, with a group of poets called Late Night Poets. Tonight is our sensual poetry night, and if you find that is not your cup of tea, please check out our other shows. Late Night Poets has 1 to 2 shows per night on a variety of styles of topics and poetry, something to suit everybody's taste. Also, make sure when you get a chance to check out the poetry anthologies on Amazon put out by Late Night Poets, because when you purchase those, you not only get amazing poetry, you help support these radio shows. And I'd like to welcome Naomi Sarah to the show. Welcome, Naomi. Glad you could be here.
Hi, Sam.
How's it going?
So happy to be back. So happy to hear your voice. Oh, my gracious.
You too. Yes, it has been a while, and it is great to hear your voice for sure. Wonderful. We got a great lineup of sensual poetry tonight. We got some that were written for a contest, and we got some open sensual poetry. And the contest I ran was actually some art by an artist called Igor Volos. That's not his full name. That's the name he goes by for his artwork. But in the contest, I provided a link to his art page, and people can check him out. I actually highly recommend checking out his work. Now, not all of his work is what I would call sensual, but it's all just really great art. Talented artist. Yes.
Oh, indeed. Yes. Very unique prompts. Bravo. A very gilded night tonight.
Yes.
Those prompts are gold.
He does use a lot of gold tones in his paintings. And you're right when you say unique. They're not traditional sensual prompts. There's a lot of kind of mythology and mysticism within them. But there is, I think, also an undertone of sensuality.
And like you said,
he does use a lot of like the gold tones, the browns, the earth tones. Within his artwork, especially this particular series. Now, if you look at his artwork as a whole, this set I chose here is a bit different than some of his other stuff. But for this particular set of artwork that I put up, he definitely uses the earth tones and, you know, all of that. But yeah, just beautiful stuff. And, you know, sometimes it's fun to go. Sometimes it's just fun to go a little bit different.
Yeah. Very intricate. Yeah. Awesome.
Absolutely.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Detail, you know, the detail in the work is just phenomenal.
Yes. Yes. And you're right. The detail. I like offering up for any show pretty much. I like offering up prompts like artwork that has those little details to it, because you never know what somebody might pull out of some of the smaller details of a painting. So
exactly.
That's always fun to see. But so I'm so glad to hear your voice. You sound so good, and you're so delightfully cheerful. I've missed that. Very cool. All right.
What did you want me to do, Pam? Did you want me to put up the poems, or you prefer doing it?
I'll do it this time. And
perfect.
All right. And then, you know, if you're back next week too, or not next week, I should say the week after, that's then I'll probably we'll see then, but I'll probably have you post links, you know, like when I have a next show, and if you're with me.
Yeah, no problem, Pam. You're the boss.
All right. Sounds good. All right. Well, up first, I'm going to put Gifted Golden Goddess by Jenny the Deep. And Naomi, would you give that a read for us, please?
Yes, of course, by Jenny. The Jenny the Deep. Oh, she changed her name. Gifted Golden Goddess. Golden goddess of love sent to me from above, a gift she is for me to obtain. Instead, I take a knee and let her dominate. Submissive, starlit, stars, stairs steering, sensual shining, blue diamond eyes flirting. A treasure to look back at me, reciprocating to be rejected from her. Would be infuriating. Massaging her now with lubricating oils, feeling her smooth brass hair of coils, running my fingers through each strand, tasting her tongue, spicing up a life so bland. Love making music flowing like the wind, tantalizing both of us, playing on my violin. Intertwined bodies moving slowly, glowing, fluttering and humming until all is exploding. End poem.
Great read there, Naomi, and a wonderful write by Jenny the Deep. You know, I like that she writes about a woman who is dominant in her sensual escapade. And the man or woman or person who worships her and idolizes her. I do really like the alliteration of submissive starlit stares stirring sensual shining. You know, wonderful lines there. I like the emotional impact, and to be rejected from her would be infuriating. You can just kind of see the idea of somebody like a submissive's, you know, like getting all eager and excited and getting their hopes up and then being rejected, you know. And of course, I always enjoy the use of the word intertwined. It's such a beautiful word. Intertwined bodies moving slowly, glowing, fluttering, and humming until all is exploding. And I thought the use of the words glowing and exploding actually worked well, not only because they're sensual in a way, but because they somehow work with the artwork. Because as you were mentioning earlier, there's a lot of the gold tones which glowing works with. And then there's so much little detail, you almost feel like the detail is exploding out into the onto the canvas. So just a wonderful write by Jenny, and very well done. And your thoughts, Naomi?
Yeah, you know, I really liked, you know, of course, those lines that, you know, that last stanza just flows so, it's beautifully, it's just so amazingly sensual there, that last stanza. But I also like, you know, all through, like you say, she really uses, you know, the shining, like sensual shining, blue diamond eyes flirting. You see a lot of blue in some of the artworks. And of course, like you said, the gold that shines. But I also like, you know, feel the use of the coils, massaging her now with lubricating oils, feeling her smooth brass hair of coils. Because you do see a lot of, you know, like the coils in his artwork. And I thought that, you know, that was a nice touch that she brought that in there. Running my fingers through each strand, tasting her tongue, spicing up a life so bland, tasting her tongue. That's sensual. to taste someone's tongue. But very well done and well written to the prompts that she chose. I saw that she chose six of them to go with. So very well done indeed, Jenny.
Oh, absolutely. And yes, I have to agree. Tongue tasting definitely gets a central vote in my book. Great observation there on the mention of the coils and how it coincided with the artwork itself. You can tell that Jenny definitely took time to observe the artwork, you know, and taking in the details before writing. So that was very cool. All right. And let's see what we have next. Up next, we have In Your Dreams by Liquid Mind Forever. And it goes like this. In your dreams, mentally, somewhere between the medulla oblongata and the cerebrum, some dream of raspberry and cream. Some dare bear their organ wear, but I don't care. I won't spare my dirty underwear. Spontaneity reposes in the upper stem of REM. With them, those who suppose they chose to compose while being disposed as they doze, repressed to express fantasies, woes, sexually in the mind, often defined by supine, alignment, confinement, splinters fragmentally into phantasmagorical shapes and spirals, geometrical, convolutional defilement. Meanwhile, I trip, dip deep into wild styles that rile a smile, cosmogonic synapses collapses in my mind. I imagine walls, ceilings, vaults, halls with rubbery small balls installed where somersaults halt and pretense falls. For I succumb to humdrum whirls, twirled and curled, hurled at the Taj Mahal, chosen, frozen, prosen on the tongue of speechlessness, where stem cells compelled, impelled, felled by genius strokes, poke. Humorous, the lone bone, which most atone alone in the mind, bound around what's found. Confounded, shapes and spirals gone viral in the mind once defined, no more outlined by time, now supernally masterminded, end poem. And what an absolutely beautiful and intriguing write by Liquid Mind Forever. And your thoughts, Naomi?
Yeah, well, you know, when I was listening to you read this, and you know, all the intricacies of the poem, all of the vocabulary used, it just brought me back again once more, you know, to that art, to the artwork, which is so intricate. And I thought that she really brought all those words together in an amazing poetic style here. This is just a fabulous, fabulous work. You know, she got me right from the beginning. I love how she uses, you know, the different parts of the brain, and then she brings in the Taj Mahal into it, you know, and just amazing the way she brought this whole poem right together. And, you know, there's something just so sensual about the whole thing, but, you know, just so just amazing. It's as unique as the artwork itself, so. Bravo, what a wonderful, wonderful job here. Well done, Deb.
Absolutely. Great observations. And I, too, had noticed that she also seemed to really pay attention to the intricate detail of the artwork. And you're right, the poem is her style of writing, and with this poem particularly, is as unique as the artwork itself. I like the inner and end rhyme on a technical level, brilliant imagery and metaphors. I too really liked the fact that she brought up the brain, because I truly feel personally, and I also feel like that this poem is expressing the idea that seduction starts with the brain. You know, there has to be that mental and emotional attraction. Yeah, maybe not for everybody, but for some of us. And there can be that initial physical attraction. It's not going to stay if they don't offer up more. You know, if there's not something that comes from their mind, that comes with the conversation, that, you know, I mean, it just falls flat after a while. I like how she started each stanza out with its own word, like mentally, spontaneity, sexually, cosmogonic, you know, that humorous. I actually think there was a bit of like great double entendres and humor when she said humorous, the lone bone, which actually I almost accidentally read as the long bone, because you can tell what I was thinking about.
I would add something else, but all I want.
It is quite clever how it did Mind Forever can use sexual innuendos and allusion, using words that you normally wouldn't think of as sensual, you know.
Amazing talent for writing.
We always have,
you know, something unique and something very powerful too when it comes to her. Every time I read her, you know, it just sticks with you. It's really powerful when she writes. She really gets across what she wants to say. So it's in that way, you know, it's really amazing.
Oh, absolutely. I have to agree. Wonderful comment. And yeah, I just very glad that she was inspired. Of course, I'm glad for anybody that was inspired by any prompts that we put up, because it's always good to see that. And I see Rosie on the board. I don't know if she's listening, but hello, Rosie. Good to see you.
I think she is. She just said hi to us. Well, I don't know. Well, maybe she saw our previous.
Yeah,
are you listening,
sometimes,
Rosie? Say hi.
Sometimes it's hard for me to tell somebody's just saying hi because they saw something I said earlier in the room, or if they just are actually listening. You never know. But I figure, you know what? Why not give a shout out? So it's always good to see people hanging out on the board in Late Night Poets. Right. And the next poem we have is Climax by Swimmer 7. And would you go ahead, Naomi, please, and give that a read for us?
Yes, I read this earlier that really, really stuck with me. Climax. Clothed in craftsmanship sharpened by the map of your womanhood, your breath is a rose untrammeled, hiding its bud, the divine proportion of your breast. Observe via the prism of lust, your own eyes a bird of prey, drunk on desire, an artifact in flesh. Your beauty made you indivisible. By logic, masked by unmet needs, a clock wound backward, your continent sniffs, lucid dream and tire, a key waiting to be turned, your want. willing bones and the skin of my hands. It is only in the animal that I see your soul and poem.
Oh, that is a wonderful read there, Naomi. And what a stunning write by Swimmer 7. Oh my goodness, these short, impactful lines. I mean, if you're going to go with a one-word title, it might as well be Climax. I mean, that's a great title. Right? Yeah. I like how he says so much without a lot of words. And the imagery is powerful. The opening lines, clothed in craftsmanship, sharpened by the map of your womanhood. You get the impression that here's a man who enjoys mapping, enjoys exploring the curves of his woman over and over again. I also liked, observe via the prism of lust, your own eyes, a bird of prey. And the fact that he spelled prey, P-R-A-Y, instead of P-R-E-Y. So it's a play on words. And the idea of being very, like, reverent towards a lover, very worshipful. Let's see, what else? Oh, my gosh. I mean, there's brilliant lines all the way through. I do like how he says in the end lines, it is only in the animal that I see your soul. Because first of all, I think that speaks on the idea of that, you know, that this isn't just a physical love, but something deeper. You see both the physical and the emotional. But again, we have something that really connects with the artwork, because if you look at the artwork, you'll notice along with the main focus is the people, but off to the side and around them, there's different animals within the paintings. And I thought that worked really well. I also thought the word says, your beauty made you indivisible by logic, amassed by unmet needs, a clock wound backwards, your consonants, a blacksmith's lucid dream entire. I mean, I could really quote the whole thing, but I'm bringing that part up because I feel there's almost this kind of sadness of this woman who was appreciated for her beauty, but never truly appreciated for something deeper until this particular lover came along. Just amazing lines all the way through and very well done. And Naomi, you did a wonderful read of that. Your thoughts?
Yeah, well, first of all, you know, he catches the stripe right away with that opening stanza. My gracious, you know, I have to go back to it because I'm looking at the prompt. A clothed in craftsmanship sharpened by the map of your womanhood. Your breath is a rose untrammeled, hiding its bud. You know, that's, wow, that's a great opening. And, you know, you talked about the animals, Pam. You know, I had to, that's why I went back to see Anna. I saw, the dragon, and we see other, like, forms of animals in there. But you also see, like, really the clock, too, you know, the hands of the clock. And the key that's right there in the painting. And, you know, I think, you know, another poem that really, really captures all the essence of the artwork that, you know, that, and we see how that artwork really, really inspired him to write this beautiful, beautiful piece here throughout the poem, a key waiting to be turned your want. That is so amazing. You know, willing bones in the skin of my hands. That's just beautiful. A blacksmith's lucid dream. You know, he is the like the blacksmith crafting this woman, you know, to fulfill all her desires. So very well done, Swimmer 7, and hope to read more of you soon. Bravo, beautiful write.
Absolutely, absolutely. I do have to agree. And I'm glad you brought up that blacksmith part, because as you said, the idea of crafting this woman's sensuality, but also because there was such wonderful juxtaposition in, you know, a blacksmith's lucid dreams, because lucid dreaming is something so controlled by the mind. It's so free-flowing almost. You know, I don't know if free-form is the right word, but you know what I mean. It's something that comes from the mind. Whereas when you think of a blacksmith, you think of somebody who's a very physical and visceral creator of their art form. So I was glad you brought that part up. So wonderful observations. All right, let's see what we have next.
Rosie is listening to us.
She is. She said she set her alarm for us. It's 5:30 a.m. there, her time. So, wow. Oh, and I see Harco Parco. Adam. Hello, Adam. Good to see you. Don't know if he's listening, but it is good to see him. Hanging out on Late Night Poets. And up next we have Mother Nature by Tears From Within. And it goes like this. She lays under the sun and moon, her skin glistening in their light. Forever she shall fight her internal night. Her golden skin kisses the sun rays through the days. Her heart races at the wind's song as it whispers through the trees. She is one with nature. The earth's rotations count the days. Her life has been a haze, but in the moon she continues to gaze. Internal peace she seems to find within the streams of time. She will now be free from her mind. Her heart belongs to the moon, her body to the sun. Her time in earth where she has been one, Mother Nature cannot be undone. She sings all the birds, so sing all the birds, blow as lightly as the breeze. Her beauty can put mankind to their knees. She's all the flowers, grass, and trees. Her love as deep as the ocean, but as fierce as the waves. Mother Nature is with us in so many ways. So count the days, play in the wind, because one day she too shall find her end. End poem. Oh, and what a beautiful write by Tears From Within. And Naomi, your thoughts?
Yeah, again, you know, we brings out the artwork so well, the sun, the moon, the golden skin. And when you think of it, you know, that she brought Mother Nature into the poem, and it's almost like an ode to Mother Nature here, and well, it is, and that's so clever. I thought that was so awesome the way that I wouldn't have thought of that, but you know, now that I really look at that picture. Mother Nature, well, yeah, of course, you know, she's all over that picture, you know, she's the sun, the moon, the sky, the, you know, the ocean there that you see, the water, the air, you know, and the wind. So of course, Mother Nature. And so what a wonderful way to, you know, to just praise Mother Nature through this poem and see it in that artwork. I really liked her, you know, her golden skin kisses the sun rays through the days. Her heart races at the wind's song as it whispers through the trees. She is one with nature. And, you know, I think also maybe I'm stretching it a little bit, but this could also be an ode to women, to women all over, whatever shape, whatever size, whatever where, whatever nationality. I don't know. Maybe I'm stretching it, but you know, an ode to just the women and their sensuality all over the earth. So, yeah, bravo. Inspired me, this poem. Very great work.
Absolutely. And I truly don't believe you are stretching it too far, because I thought the same thing myself, you know, especially where was this particular part? Well, certain lines where it says, like, forever she shall fight her internal night. She is one with nature. She will now be freed from in her mind. I mean, and even she's all the flowers, grass, and trees. And you get this idea of it being a tribute to Mother Nature. But I think there is also that idea of paying tribute to the power within women and mm-hmm. women's connection with nature, especially women's connection, you know, with the elements of the moon and water. I really liked this all the way through, and I did feel it was quite a layered write. Now, this particular painting, which was prompt number one, was the most written to, and sometimes it seems quite often that prompt number one is the most written to, and sometimes I question whether that's because the prompt people like the best or because they just didn't bother to look at any others. But I will have to say that in my opinion, I think in this contest, people were really drawn to this artwork because I found it to be the most sensual out of all the prompts. I mean, they all have their own kind of sensuality to them, but this one with the naked woman basking beneath the sun on what looks like a boat really just worked well. And I like it. Yes, yes. And I like what Tears from Within saw within this, because you're right, you know, there's little things you notice about this artwork, and then sometimes somebody would write something that makes you do a double take, and you're like, oh yeah, Mother Nature, like you were saying, you know, I can definitely see that. Yep. And I have to say, I thought this was beautiful all the way through, but there was something about those three-line stanzas, those up near the top, that I thought were particularly beautiful. The earth's rotations counts the days. Her life has been a haze, but in the moon she continues to gaze. Internal peace she seems to find within the streams of time. She will now be freed from her mind. I love those lines, but I also love the sensuality in her heart belongs to the moon, her body to the sun, and her love as deep as the ocean, but as fierce as the waves. And those lines there, her love as deep as the ocean, but as fierce as the waves, were another line that I thought really spoke well, paying tribute to the spirit of all women who,
yeah,
who
exactly.
have loved. Yes, yes. So stunning, stunning work, and very well done. All right, let's see what we have next. You know, and I have to say it's been really nice lately in some of the shows. I've been seeing poets who are fairly new and who have been just, you know, really supporting the shows, and that has been great to see. And I see that, yeah, very cool.
Oh,
I see we have GDR. What's that? I'm sorry.
Maybe he'll call in.
Oh, no. Luke J.R. says, I won't be calling in today, but I will be listening while sharing my comments here on the board. And that is absolutely fine. Of course, you're always welcome to call in if you want, Luke, but it's good to see you hanging out on the board and putting your written comments there. Very cool.
Absolutely.
I
echo you there, Pam, because I've been away for a while, and all these these some of these poets here. I have to catch up because the all these new names. Oh my gracious!
Right. And we definitely have some new ones that are definitely worth reading. So yeah, it's going to be fun for you. You're going to have a lot of fun reading to do. But all right. Up next, we have Casino Calamity by Sakura Falls. And Naomi, would you go ahead and give that a read, please?
Absolutely. Upon this suppressed table, I sit with an open coin slot. You can insert your credits. The suppressed table rocks. With my feet edged on the table rims, I find my legs open, taking it all in. You seem addicted to this earthquake. You seem to enjoy the shaking of my cake. How you wish to stay all night playing inside my casino, performing unholy acts inside my slot. But you have a wife to go back to. She's worried that you won't come home tonight to take out. So take out your wallet. Take out the only thing you use at night and stop trying to shake me dry. Just close the zipper. Leave my silent little casino. You performed well for an addict. So take your car back home and don't say I'd steal your jacket because you gave me more than I asked for upon the suppressed table. Next time, let's do it on the floor. End poem.
Great read there, Naomi. I have to say that this one I found clever. It did definitely have a dark undertone because it spoke on someone who has a gambling addiction. But I liked how she used the extended metaphor and the double entendres where she could be talking about somebody paying for the sex act or having an affair. So there is that under the definite tone of sensuality or sexuality to it. But to me, it's a personification of a slot machine and the extended metaphor of the slot machine taking somebody's money, taking their time away from their family and from their wife. And there's definitely, to me, a darkness and a sadness to this. But I did find it quite clever. I have to admit, I'm not a big fan. I mean, you know, I don't stick my nose up at anybody who wants to go have some fun with some gambling. But you know, I'm not a big fan of casinos. I've honestly been to one like twice in my life, and both times I really felt like the people at the slot machines basically looked like zombies.
Yeah.
And that did not impress me. I really, like I said, this is clever. Her wording, her use of personification, and the attitude that she puts in this, especially at the end, you know, and she says, and don't say I'd steal your jacket because you gave me more than I asked for. In other words, I didn't force you into this. This is of your own free will. So intriguing, right, and very well done. And your thoughts, Naomi?
Yeah, absolutely, Pam. You're right on there. I personally had my ex was a player with slot machines, and you know. We're not, you know, it's my ex for nothing.
Yes.
And, you know, a lot of weeks we'd go hungry, me and the children, because he put all his pays into these machines. So I just hate these machines, what they can do to people. You know, all these, you know, they're a real what is that in word in English? It's with Egypt there, the you know, the God put in
plague.
Yeah, they're a real plague. Yeah, they're a real plague. You know, that so many people get addicted to them. Women too, women as well as men. And they can put their whole pays into them. And, you know, the machines, the way she personified, like you said, the machines as being like a prostitute, so well done. And, you know, yeah, there is a darkness to this rite, and it's so well done. And, you know, just very relevant to the days and times today, because more and more people, well, at least here in Quebec, are, you know, are becoming addicted, I think, to these machines. And, yeah, so... Very well done. Performing on holy acts. Yeah, and performing on holy acts inside my slot. But you have a wife to go back to. Exactly. Amazing. Amazing right here. Very profound.
Yep. I have to agree with you. And I like that you shared your personal experience, because, yeah, that does, when somebody shares their personal experience, it shows people that it really, truly does affect, you know, family and friends when somebody becomes mm-hmm. addicted to gambling. And I think I'm getting so much better at reading, or like reading what you're saying, because sometimes when you're saying a word in French and you're trying to explain what it means, uh-huh. I sit there thinking, I don't quite know, and I'm trying to figure out. But as soon as you said, you know, happened in Egypt and God, and I was like, oh, she means a plague.
You know, I'm out of practice because, you know, the only time I get to practice English is really on these shows. So, and I've been off for so long that, you know, I noticed that I was on the show last night with Phil, and I was stumbling over my words. And I was there, and after I said to my friend, I said, oh, my gracious. You know, I lose my English as soon as I stop practicing and stop talking. You know, I think that's normal, but, you know, I just forget my vocabulary. Yeah.
Oh, but, yeah, no, I think your English is great. I couldn't even, geez, man, I'd have to be practicing French for years before I could even meet you halfway. You know, I could just imagine me trying to say some French word and going, you know what it means.
Bonjour, bonjour.
I always tell people the only French word I need to know is croissant. Sorry about that. Start coughing. Oh, goodness. All right. So let's see what we have next. Doo-doo-doo.
It's amazing how, you know, the comment that Luke GR left on the board about the last poem we read, he says, incredibly interesting, as it reminds me how gambling and sexuality can be addictive. It's true. I didn't do that. See that, you know, that link, but of course they are both highly addictive. So great comment, Luke.
Yep, exactly. And great yes, I have to agree. Great observation by Luke. And yes, there is such a thing as not only gambling addiction, but sexual addiction.
Mm-hmm.
And oftentimes, well, any type of addiction is really about somebody, I think, trying to fill an empty void in their life.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Or getting that sense of, I don't know, empowerment. Who knows? I'm no expert. You know, this isn't the Dr. Phil show, so don't take my word on it.
Dr. Pam.
Dr. Pam, yeah. Well, this is the Art of Seduction show, so you can call me Dr. Feel Good. Oh, I hear my daughter coming to shut my door because I'm getting too loud.
Yep.
Love you, honey. She does that whenever I start getting too loud and laughing too hard on shows. She comes in and closes my door. All right. Well, we better continue on with the poetry because we got some other good stuff coming. And up next, we have Mimicry by Silent Tree. And it goes like this. Kelpfin Kaffirs adorn a periwinkle shell headdress, eyes rest neath a brow, scale lips of salmon shades, whirlwind breasts of burnt siennas, nocturnal knots, a butterscotch body bathed in fern espresso waves, coiled inside sorghum skin, a silence to her slumber. Granite gazes, a whetstone-washed coral crescendo, the Medusa's stringless psalms of statuette caprice, sail out across unbridled plateaus of avarice hunger. Pastel butterflies swarm a caffeine ribbon canvas, pale gossamer dust weaved in watercolor whispers, lay adrift within an owl mimicry of wallpaper oceans. Flue pipes breathe her hourglass segment sonitations as slender hands tease the ebony-necked fretboard, fingertips caress of the malleable snakewood bough. Fiddlehead fronds churn in tones of salted caramel as stained glass wings paint of the night with colors. End poem. And what a beautiful write by Silent Tree. I really love her use of imagery. And your thoughts, Naomi?
Oh, my gracious. Wow. The use of color, too, eh? Pastel butterfly swarm, a caffeine ribbon canvas, pale gossamer dust weaved in watercolor whispers. Wow, I just love that, watercolor whispers. Lay adrift within an owl mimicry of wallpaper oceans, flue pipes breathe her hourglass segment sonitations. That is just beautiful. And, you know, the last stanza, of course, just amazing. Yeah, me too, like you, Pam, the imagery, the use of color in this, and the wording is just absolutely beautiful. It just, you know, just flows together so, so perfectly well. From the periwinkle to the coral to the whatever color does she have in here? Oh my gracious, she has
Wow,
you know, just amazing. What an amazing write by Silent Tree. I think she really, really dug into the artwork again here. This is, you know, another one that and just brought out all those colors and made this fabulous, fabulous poem out of it. So it's so well done.
It really is. It really is. I have to agree. And what I like about her use of color is, you know, she doesn't just go like, you know, brown, gold, green, you know, yellow. She really gets creative with her use of color. And she's another one that you can tell she really paid attention to the artwork itself. I love whirlwind breasts of burnt sienna, nocturnal knots, a butterscotch body bathed in fern espresso waves. I also thought it was very creative and clever with the Medusa's stringless psalms of statuette caprice sail out across unbridled plateaus of avarice hunger. You can just feel the sense of desire within those lines. you know, and as slender hands tease the ebony neck fretboard, fingertips caress of the malleable snakewood bow, fiddlehead fronds, churns and tones of salted caramel. And she had chosen the prompt where the woman is playing like a violin, and she really brought in the sense of sensuality that comes with listening to or with playing music. And it you get so engrossed and lost within the imagery and the sense of the sensuality within the line that is captured with the idea of playing music. You know, so just beautiful lines and very well done.
Absolutely.
Definitely. And let's see, what does Luke J.R. say? Luke says, Silent Tree has been an essential rite that is incredibly creative with making. You know what? Would you do me a favor, Naomi? Would you read Luke J.R.'s comment on Silent Tree? All right.
Yeah. She has written an essential rite that is incredibly creative with making sea-related items full of hot, passionate descriptions. The layers of this rite truly capture the prompt perfectly. Silent Tree certainly knows how to keep poetry flowing with words that blend so well together. It's just simply beautifully through and through. Absolutely agree, Luke. Awesome comment.
Oh, I have to agree too, and thank you for writing that comment there, Luke, and thank you for reading that. I was going to do it, but then as you probably heard, the dog started barking because the roommate got home, and I had to open up my door, so, you know. yeah. All right, now, let's see. Let's see here. What do we have next? Oh, yeah, here we go. Since we have Rosie hanging on the board, I figure I'll put her right up, which is Creative Leader by Rosie. And would you go ahead, please, Naomi, and give that a read?
Perfect. Rosie, Creative Leader. She is the moment in harmony with herself. Yet you might want to reach her. Indigo Hora, spiritual by nature. Predicting future, she is the perfect teacher. Above her is only endless sky, unlocking dreams, affecting you. The world, at times she sacrifices her own desires to guide you with a twist, a swirl, ability to have powerful conversations, motivate you. She'll never talk small. Isolating herself, opening third eye, and yet she has the key to see it all. Exemplary body, mind, soul, and high values, unique in many ways, serving harmony, enjoyment. She's deep, old soul, a sunshine ray. With nothing on, she explores nature, spirit, and everything between. I guess it is perfection. I can see it, and I bow down to my queen. End poem.
Wonderful read there, Naomi, and what a stunning write by Rosie. I really like this because I feel like it's another one that's layered, that while it speaks on an individual woman and someone's love and desire for an individual woman, I also feel like it's another one that pays reverence to all women and their emotional and spiritual capacity. I also really like, because a lot of this artwork, the women in the artwork are presented in such a way that they could be like goddesses or queens, or even there's some that look like warriors. And so you really see the strength of women within this artwork. And I think there was at least one that had a man in it, and that kind of had the same feel of like a warrior. But I really feel like Rozzy has definitely captured the spirituality as well as the sensuality in this, in the artwork, and then also the idea of the strength of women. I particularly like is above her is only endless sky, unlocking dreams, affecting you, the world at times. She scarifies her own desire to guide you with a twist, a swirl. I thought was particularly erotic lines. Then serving harmony, enjoyment. She's deep, old soul, a sunshine ray. So there's definitely the idea of a connection that's more than physical. So beautifully written and very well done. And Naomi, your thoughts?
Oh, absolutely amazing. Me too. I went right to where you went. You know, the reverence towards women everywhere and their strength and their capacity to, you know, to be sensual in their own unique way. And, you know, this is just, I just love how, you know, she finishes out the poem with nothing on. She explores nature, spirits, and everything between. I guess it is perfection. I can see it. And I bow down to my queen. You know, that is just amazing. I just loved how she finished out this poem. But, you know, I gravitated towards, you know, those same lines that you just read to. Just amazing, amazing, right, Rozzy? And it flows so well. And I just love those couplets, the way you put them together, and, you know, the way that the whole poem comes full circle, you know, in all its powerfulness and all its meaning. So just an amazing, amazing write.
Absolutely, absolutely. I have to agree. Wonderful comment there. Yeah, Rozzy says she's blushing, and I told her I am blushing all the time on this show. I am so glad it's not a television show, because honest to goodness, there are times in my introduction where I am just bright red.
We'd have to layers and layers of makeup on to hide that.
Yeah. I'd be like, you know, those, you know, what are those women from the geisha makeup? I'd have to wear like geisha makeup, like, just so nobody would see the blush. Oh my goodness. And I'll go ahead and get the next one up, which is Haranged by Peacock Call, Rain Falls by Eric Svensson. And Eric was nice enough to supply us with a SoundCloud. So here we go.
Haranged by Peacock Call, Rain Falls. Razzle, dazzle. Plumage, plunge, muzzles, Hera's special bird puzzles, proud, loud, an illustrious progeny of 100-eyed giant Argos Panoptes, bereft, cleft apart by the giant's demise, Hera places his 100 eyes in the peacock tail. Harangued by peacock call, rain fell, shimmy shake, effervescence quakes, spontaneous spoonerism, three cheers for our queer old dean, Freudian slip, P.N. Queen Victoria gives William Archibald Spooner 100 rigor mortis eyes. Flutter, fly, butterfly, vanitas vanitatum omnia vanitas, pride and prejudice of Roman times, Eden's infamous peacock portent, parama of funerals, death and resurrection. No snake cajoled, but loud and proud peacock jinxed Eve, precursor to Leda's swan swoon, pride of place, two pious peacocks flank the Eucharist cup, harangued by peacock's call, rain fell. Bitter sweet, razzle dazzle plumage plunge muzzles, poignant pertinence completes the puzzle. Ardent ad lib on the Spanish steps in Rome, don't stay, beware, make the sign of the cross. Bevel devil peacock voice harangues, dressed to the hundreds in striking, strident, angelic plumes. When anguished, ardent athlete Alexandra the Great got to India, smitten, thrice bitten, he forbade the killing of such devilish, angelic beauties. Right, said Fred, I'm too sexy for my shirt. Where's my peacock throne? A bird in the hand is better than three in the bush. Love's luster is a many splendid thing, isn't it? End poem.
Wow, what a wonderful read by Eric. Great reading right there, Eric. Thank you for the SoundCloud. It is very much appreciated. Just a reminder, everyone, if you're unable to call in, then the next best thing is to make a recording of your poem, because then we get to hear your poetry in your voice. And anybody who gets a chance, when you have time, click on the link to Greek Gods Info, Hera at Myths, and the Hera and the Peacock, because that is an interesting little read there. Apparently, the peacock was Hera's, who was the wife of Zeus. It's her sacred animal, and apparently, it was her servant Argos, who was a monster with multiple eyes, his eyes got transformed into the feathers of the peacock. But I won't read the whole thing, but just wanted to mention that it's worth checking out. As always, Eric is just so clever with his wordplay and his sense of humor. I really did like the nod going back into what was that, the late 90s, early 2000s, something like that. It had to have been the 90s with Right Said Fred, I'm too sexy for my shirt.
Yeah. I was giggling on the phone, but I was on mute, but I was just giggled out loud.
Oh man, that was great though. It was, because it's not only like a nice throwback, but that creates a nostalgic feeling for me, but also because you honestly, if you could picture a peacock singing any song the way they strut around, it would be I'm Too Sexy for My Shirt. I really like this all the way through. It's quite clever, but I like how he mixes in the mythology together, and mm-hmm. with spontaneous Spoonerism. That's cool because National Spoonerism Month is actually coming up, and a spoonerism is where you take like two sayings and like mix them up. I actually, one of my best friends, her mom used to do that. Like, you know, like there's this saying, the shit's going to hit the fan. And then another saying, don't have a cow. And her mom would always say, the cow's going to hit the fan. I'd be like, where are these cows coming from that are going to hit the fan? But I really like this nod towards sexuality, life and death, and the like I said, the mysticism of it. No snake cajoled it, but loud and proud, peacock jinxed Eve, precursor to Lita's swan, soon pride of place, two pious peacocks flank the Eucharist cup, harangued by peacock's call, rainfall, bittersweet, razzle-dazzle, plumage, plunge, muzzles. I mean, it just speaks of somebody who really knows how to strut their stuff, strut their sexuality, and is quite proud. You know, a wonderful imagery and metaphors all the way through, and just delightful lines. Very well done. And your thoughts, Naomi?
Yeah, well, you know, I was going through what you were saying. Of course, I didn't get to read that link, you know, that story or that piece of mythology there. But, you know, I was wondering, was there a threesome going on? Because he says a bird in the hand is better than three in the bush. So I was wondering if there was a, you know, like a kind of a threesome going on between Zeus and you know, her, what was the name of her, the one that changed into the peacock there, the feathers?
That was Argos.
Argos. So because that line, after you said that, you know, mentioned that the story, that line stuck out for me. But you know, Eric's a person that I'd put on a list just to sit down with him and talk. Oh my gracious. He must be such an interesting person to talk with, because his poems are just amazing every time, the way he can twist words around and you know, and pull things together, you know, from all over, all parts, like you say, mixing, you know, a song like Too Sexy for My Shirt in with Greek mythology, Roman, you know, Greek mythology. My gracious, you know, you have to be very scholarly to do that. And, you know, it would be amazing, I think, to just sit down with Eric and have a fun conversation with him. It'd be amazing. But what a great
Absolutely. Wonderful comment there, Naomi. And I have to agree. I did actually get a chance to talk to Eric a bit when he was on Headliner's Ball, and he is an interesting person. And I do think it would be fun to sit down with him and me and you and other poets and just have like tea and snacks together and just talk. You know, that would be great. I'd attend a tea party with Eric. I don't know if he does tea, but you know.
Probably does.
Probably. I honestly don't know many people who don't do tea at some point in their life. I mean, you know, even if you don't do it on a regular basis, there's something about tea parties that are just fun and delightful. So. All right, and let's see what we have next. I like what Rozzy said. That's funny. It reminds me of one thing. Under every beautiful peacock tail is just a regular chicken ass. That would actually be a funny prompt for a contest. Oh, my goodness. All right. Well, up next we have A Delicious and Salacious Weight by Julie Buck. And it goes like this. Color me with earthy hues, caressing the tendrils of love. I reach, stretch, covet. It's not enough. I use one hand to touch wheat grass, oat, grain, barley, and rye. I'm a painting with pains, aches of needing to be sown, and then one good harvesting. Coming into my own is an abundance of musical notes and ocean life, solemn fades, and celebratory scents. Do you too smell the enticing, slow-moving hunger? My appetite feasts on my amorous anticipation. There are your footsteps. I won't grow undone or less ornate. It's delicious and salacious weight. End poem. And what a stunning write by Julie Buck. And your thoughts, Naomi?
Oh, wow. You know, once again, the opening stanza, it just caught me. Color me with earthy hues. I don't know. There's just something, you know, and with the art right above it, you see all those earthy hues. But there's just something, I don't know if it's me that has a twisted mind tonight, but there's just something about the words earthy hues that just, I don't know, it sounds so sensual. Color me with earthy hues, caressing the tendrils of love. I reach, stretch, covet. It's not enough. And the next stanza is just so amazing. You know, one good harvesting. Yeah, go harvesting. But, you know, just amazing, Julie Buck. You know, so, so clever. And so clever, witty, and very, very well done. It's a delicious and salacious wait, indeed. Your whole poem was, every word of it. So just amazing. Well done. Bravo.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I have to agree. And no, I don't think it's just your mind. You know, honestly, I think Julie has done a wonderful job with the double entendres, the illusion and the sensuality. The main idea that I got from this write was a woman who is performing self-love as she waits for her lover to get home and finish the job. Yep. I use one hand to eat grass, oat, grains, barley, and rye. I'm a painting with pains, aches of needing to be sown, and then one good harvesting. So she's preparing the field, and he just needs to come and do the harvesting. So that's
very witty.
It is very witty, very sensual. I like the buildup of anticipation as she says, do you two smell the enticing, slow moving hunger? My appetite feasts on my amorous anticipation. There are your footsteps. I won't grow undone. Wonderful lines. Beautifully written all the way through, and just, as you said, witty and clever and just an excellent sensual write. So great writing there, Julie. Very well done. And let's see what we have next. Do-do-do. All right. Up next, we have Afterglow of Love by Fran Marie. And Naomi, would you go ahead and give that a read, please?
Yes. Afterglow of Love. Oh, that's that artist. Awesome. The music of the muses steers strings of enchantment, dulcet tones, flame desire softly in a concerto caress. A sweet sonata pleads for passion play as our heated movements match in harmony, each nuance of sexuality beating breathlessly to a violin's vibration. Musical themes wrap us in amber's warm embrace. Let me love you. Take any amount of given space. Step inside my boudoir fair. My shameless seat breathes risque sheens there. Oh, play for me, oh, your melody upon angel wings ascending. Oh, stay with me, the erotic moon descending, with music muses lending, reaching a high crescendo ending, basking in the afterglow of love. End poem.
Wonderful reading, Omi. It is, isn't it? Absolutely a beautiful write by Fran Marie. I like how she brings in the sensuality of both music and nature. And I see that this one was a front page pick. So congratulations on that, Fran. I always like to see when people get front page picks with writes that were inspired by one of our contests. Wow, the use of the musical references all the way through is just beautiful. But I especially like a sweet sonata pleads for passion play as our heated movements match in harmony. And then play for me your melody upon angel wings ascending. Oh, stay with me, the erotic moon descending. Those have such a classical feel to it. And I don't know if having an O at the start of a line works for every poem, but I feel like it works for this one because of her use of word choices and imagery. The whole poem has a classical feel to it. Like I can imagine reading this poem while classical violin music is playing in the background.
Mm-hmm.
And then as you get to that last stanza, the piece of music reaching its crescendo. So just amazing sensuality and very well done. And Naomi, your thoughts?
Oh, absolutely. You know, when I was reading it, reading it out loud, the way the it flows, it's almost like you feel the arch strike the chords of the violin and the intensity going up, like to that crescendo there. I felt that, and I don't know if you noticed when I was reading like slower in the beginning and then reading faster and faster. It's almost as if I was taken up into the whole poem and just grasped me. And wow, when a poem can do that, that means, that speaks volumes. So this is just absolutely wonderfully written and wow, just amazing, amazing write.
Oh, I have to agree. And great observations there. And I did notice that, and I thought it worked quite well, that I could tell how, like, you were really caught up in the reading. So very cool there. All right. And up next we have Golden Maid by R.C. Sunday. And it goes like this. O golden maid, with you I lay and press your flesh against my lips. The suckling of your paps brings thoughts of gold flowing down my throat, freezing me like King Midas's touch. I hold your nipples clenched between my teeth, listening to your breath change to faint moans, entering, pushing, thrusting, rocking, back and forth until you are mined of precious ore. Let us lay on beds of golden threads and absorb our love. May our seed mix while we sweat together and entwining release. Like twisted ropes from high green trees, let me cuddle you in folds of heat and be all you ever dreamed. End poem. And what an absolutely beautiful by R.C. Sunday. And your thoughts, Naomi?
I was, as you were reading this, I was there, oh my gracious, you know, starting to blush. And then I went up and I saw the word Sunday in the title, and I right away I thought, wow, we're far from Sunday school. But you know what? What an amazing right, you know. So very erotic, right? My gracious, I hold your nipples clenched between my teeth, listening to your breath change to faint moans, entering, pushing, thrusting, rocking back and forth until you are mind of precious ore. That is just amazing, mind of precious ore. That is just, you know, what a great use of words that is. And, you know, all through it, just amazing. What a great write.
Oh, I have to agree. It is definitely blush-worthy, amazing all the way through, and a very erotic write. I do like that opening, O Golden Maid, which works with the, because it is, out of all the paintings, this one was pretty much, other than some black, was like all gold and cream colors. So to open it up with, O Golden Maiden, with you I lay and press your flesh against my lips, was wonderful opening lines. Again, a wonderful use of the word entwining, together an entwining release, like twisted ropes from high green trees. Let me cuddle in you in folds of heat and be all you ever dreamed. Just, you know, beautiful lines all the way through, wonderful sensuality, and very well done. And let's see what we have next. All right. Up next we have Persephone. Invite Me into Hades by Papa Terminus. And would you go ahead, please, Naomi, and give that a read?
Yes. I see Silent Tree has joined us.
Yes.
Hello, Silent Tree. Okay. Papa Terminus. Persephone, invite me into Hades. The speed of fingers invite me like a moth to the flame. Entice butterfly, wings flutter on each string, a dap of nectar as the honeybee stings. I've heard her speak in Gregorian chants, in a monotone echo. It's a reedy moan, a moan, no pitch, just a hollow droning as my sword enters her stone. Bat your lashes for the old croon. She conjures from her cauldron, sculptured the fermented bone, clasped in a gnarled grip like that of a tree limb. As her fingers caress the butterfly wings, her bedroom eyes, a come-hither stare, she hungers for flesh like a she-wolf, baying at the waning moon in the spring. So play your sweet sonata, Persephone, for tonight the Andagio shall sing for you, pluck my heartstrings with blessings.
Wonderful read there, Naomi, and such a beautiful write by Papa Terminus. I really like how he saw the mythology within the artwork, and I highly recommend that anybody who reads Papa Terminus's writing, take time to read his AN, because he oftentimes has the most intricate ANs that offer up the little details of his thoughts that came to him as he was writing the poem. I really like how he delves into the relationship and the story between Hades and Persephone. And I particularly like the sensuality and butterfly wings flutter on each string, a dap of nectar as the honeybee stings. I've heard her speak in Gregorian chants in a monotone echo. It's a reedy moan, no pitch, just a hollow droning as my sword enters her stone. There's wonderful sensuality to that. And this sword in the stone offers up such a personal element because, you know, the story of King Arthur and how only the true king could pull the sword from the stone. So it really speaks on belonging to only one person, one man or one woman. And so it speaks in a very intimate love. I also like the dark sensuality of she hungers her flesh like a she-wolf baying at the waning moon in the spring. And I thought that was, of course, the mention of spring, you know, makes sense because of Persephone being the goddess of springtime. So wonderful right all the way through and beautifully done. And Naomi, your thoughts?
Yeah, this is just amazing. You know, and wow, pure talent. I've heard her speak in Gregorian chants in a monotone echo. It's a reedy moan, no pitch, just a hollow droning as my sword enters a stone. And me too, right away, I thought of, you know, the Excalibur and Arthur. And, you know, you already mentioned it, Tam, but, you know, belonging to one person there. I thought that was just an amazing, amazing metaphor to use the sword and the stone right there. As her fingers caress the butterfly wings, her bedroom eyes, a come hither stare. She hungers for flesh like a she-wolf baying at the waning moon in the spring. You know, beautiful, beautiful rhythm and you know, flow throughout this poem. It's just so, so poetic. And, you know, there's powerfulness in that stanza. She hungers for flesh like a she-wolf baying at the waning moon in the spring. This is very powerful in that particular stanza there, but all through just amazing writing by Papa Terminus. So wow, bravo.
Absolutely. And when you said powerful for that one stanza about the she-wolf, I have to agree with you, that's a perfect word to describe that. So great comment. All right, and up next we have Gilded by Forgotten Dreams. Obsidian sheets cloak the bed like midnight. I see twin stars glint in her galaxy eyes as crisp satin slips like indigo breeze around new bodies, redolent of the crescent moon repose in his sky. Her curves gleam like molten gold, rivers of hair pour down back, pooling at the dip and spine as hips undulate a siren song. Sangria lips stretch, revealing the constellation of her smile. My fingers trace every blazing point of her mouth prior to leaning in and kissing the sunshine of face. Chests pressed as legs braid together, we melt like sizzling butter. Chocolate under tongue, dripping wax, resembling our pieces in new formations. End poem. And Naomi, your thoughts?
Oh, my gracious. You know, Forgotten Dreams. I said it last night. I'm going to say it again. You know, she just amazes me, you know, among all the amazing poets that just blow my mind on this site. You know, she's one of them. And, you know, we melt like sizzling butter, chocolate under tongue, dripping wax, resembling our pieces in new formations. Wow, what a way to finish, you know, what a clever way to you know, to to a metaphor for lovemaking, you know, and in all kinds of unique kind of ways and positions there. Just amazing. But, you know, there's so much beauty in this poem, too. I think she really brought out, you know, the crisp satin slips like indigo breeze around nude bodies, redolent of the crescent moon repose in the sky. Her curves gleam like molten gold. Just amazing. Sangria lips stretch, revealing the constellations of her smile. Just beautiful, beautiful lines all throughout this poem. And, you know, it's not very long. My gracious, this could be a brevity, you know, 109 words, but it's so divinely put together. Just a fabulous, fabulous work. Again, once again, by Forgotten Dreams.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, this is a wonderful sensual rite with beautiful and brilliant imagery. I did like that stanza that you quoted with sangria lips stretch, revealing the constellation of her smile. All the way through, amazing lines. Another part I really like is her curves gleam like molten gold, rivers of hair pour down her back. And then this, chest pressed as legs braid together, we melt like sizzling butter, chocolate under tongue, dripping wax, resembling our pieces in new formations. I love how those lines, you just really see the imagery of two people passionately embraced and focused mm-hmm. only on each other. So really wonderful lines and very well done.
Absolutely.
Yes, for sure. And I see Sidewinder on the board, and hello to Sidewinder. Good to see him. Very cool. And Naomi, I've gone ahead and put your poem up, so go ahead and give it a read for us, please.
Yeah, well, this is one you heard already, of course, Pam. Not very many of my poems that you didn't hear. but, you know, when I looked at the prompt, the sky, made me think of like a temple, the mythology maybe, you know, the nature of it. I just thought that, you know, I came to this poem right here. So this is Take Me There. Cradle me in your arms, leading me to where the sky and the sea merge forever in the clarity of beauty, singing to me all the shades of blue from azure to sapphire that swim within my eyes, the smell of rain in my hair, the rosening of my skin under the bold touch of your fingertips. Bathe in my honeyed perfume, intoxicating your thirsty lungs like the most cherished secret as we move softly together like the finest of silk. Then take me up to the mountaintop where the river of heaven flows, wherein I lose myself in its sparkling ripples, my head rocking back against the pillowed bank as the first moan escapes my lips. To the front of the sacred temple where I listen to the autumn wind chanting your name as I inhale your musky flavor, every nerve in my body and brain electrified in that split second when your mouth moves to my left ear and you whisper what's coming next. Take me soaring over desert dunes under your hot breath as your lips roam my inner thighs, humming the turquoise waves of the sky where I sink into the sand in a shimmering haze of silvery mirages, drifting in the murmurs of a breeze so pure I burst with wonder, tasting the eternity sweetened and magnified of an endless second that waits for morning. End poem.
Oh, bravo, Naomi. Wonderful read and write. And this one is definitely one that's worth hearing again. And you're right. I can see why when you saw that artwork that you thought of this poem. It really does work well because there is that connection of the, you know, like you have, she's laying on, as I said earlier, what looks to be like a boat. So you have the sky and the sea mentioned. Even the mention of the beach, the sand dunes. Oh my goodness. You know, I really love this all the way through. The imagery and metaphors are truly stunning and brilliant. But I have to say my favorite parts are the stanza that starts with, to the front of the sacred temple, where I listen to the autumn wind chanting your name as I inhale your musky flavor, every nerve in my body and brain electrified. And then take me soaring over desert dunes under your hot breath as your lips roam my inner thighs, humming the turquoise wave of the sky, where I sink into the sand in a shimmering haze of silvery mirages. Definitely worked really well with this particular artwork. Amazing imagery all the way through. And I love how this speaks on the whole idea of taking seduction nice and slow. So very well done.
Thank you, Pam.
Absolutely. All right. Let's see what we have next. All right, up next we have Butterfly Wings by Betty Page, and it goes like this. Sing me a beautiful song, strings pull sweet butterfly's wings, violin tugs back and forth, swaying softly as she sings. Sacred heart breaks melodies, angelically she shatters, cruel hypnotic tragedies, deep blue for nothing matters. Golden ancient poetry spills across her bloodied hands. Life is just hypocrisy. Villains destroy all her plans. Viciously he gives no chance, severs with each note she plays. While she, the gestures sing and dance, isolates herself for days. Numb wickedly hangs up high, watching the ballroom below. Masquerades and lullabies, puts on all for a good show. Sweetly she must still convince, lyrically, melodically, lost drowning in his silence, wrecking what they used to be. In limbo stuck on the fence, applause with sweet accolades, intentional violence, beautifully music fades. End poem. And oh my goodness, that is just a sad and emotive, right, but so powerful. And Naomi, would you like to make a comment?
Yeah, my gracious, you know, just right from the beginning again, you know, these poems, you know, most of the poems tonight, they catch me right with their first stanza, and this one is no exception here. Sing me a beautiful song, strings pull sweet butterfly's wings, violin tugs back and forth, swaying softly as she sings. There's such a beautiful melody, you know, like a kind of a sad melody, a nostalgia there that I find in that first stanza for some reason there. You know, and just amazing all the way through. Numb wickedly hangs up high, watching the ballroom below, masquerades and lullabies, put on for all a good show. Yeah, like you said, this is just so sad, and you know, but very, very powerful, and you know, amazingly well written by Betty Page.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. A powerful write, great rhyme and flow, wonderful imagery. You know, you just get the sense of everything that this woman has lost. Even her sense of self has been lost. And, you know, I just really thought it was beautifully written. Sacred Heartbreaks melodies, angelically she shatters, cruel hypnotic tragedies, deep blue for nothing matters, golden ancient poetry. I love that phrase, golden ancient poetry. It works so well with the artwork, not only because of the gold, but some of the loops and swirls actually kind of look like, you know, how like calligraphy, like when you, you see certain styles of calligraphy with writing, it made me think of that. So great observation by Betty, and beautifully written. All right. Let's see what we have next. Ah, yes. Here we go. The next poem I'm going to put up is going to be by Poetic Picasso, our very own Frank. And because the title is in French, I'm not even going to try to read that. I'm going to leave that up to you, Naomi. And then, of course, if you could read the poem for us, I greatly appreciate it.
Okay. Les jardins de nuit. The gardens of night. The vernal eye scene of the seduced sunflower watches closely over the vestal virgin blossoming, naked within the caresses of the awakened wildflowers as she imbibes the sweet nectar of eternal ambrosia. Her long flowing hair of the golden silk from the threads releases the soft gossamers floating in the gentle breeze and the fresh scent of the oil drifting into the sudden waft till the edge of the river of leaf beyond sensual petals of passion. Her penetrating eyes sparkle and her attraction captivates, exuding the shaped beauty of a divine goddess wrought within the visible vestigial chromatic shades of life, depicting the cyclic nature of seasons now and then. The sunflower will watch her as she bathes in the wine, waiting to see her swimming alone in the exotic bubbles and drying off in the nudity, the erotic sun blazing as she basks with its rays, laying in a bed of wildflowers. À les jardins de nuit, elle dormira au sein de la rivière proche, toujours avec les fleurs sauvages autour de son corps, jusqu'à ce qu'elle se réveille le matin, de sentir à nouveau vivante leur caresse. She will sleep in the blossom of the river Nye, with the wildflowers around her body, until she wakes up in the morning to feel their caresses once more. Live and poem.
Beautiful read there, Naomi. And what a wonderful write by Frank. And this was a pre-write, but I have to say it was another pre-write that I thought fit really well with the artwork. It has the imagery that fits well. It has the mention of mythology, drifting into the sudden waste till the edge of the river of leaf beyond sensual petals of passion. I mean, I love the French in it, especially with hearing you read it. I thought that was such a, because French and Spanish are both very romantic languages. I really like the imagery in naked within the caresses of the awakened wildflowers as she imbibes the sweet nectar of eternal ambrosia, and the her penetrating eyes sparkle and her attraction captivate, exuding the shaped beauty of a divine goddess wrought within the visible vestigial chromatic shades of life, depicting the cyclic nature of seasons now and then. I love how this is just not only the sensuality, but it pays tribute to the beauty within nature and the beauty within the passing seasons. So wonderful, right, and very well done. And Naomi, your thoughts?
Yeah, I really, really was captivated by this whole piece here by Frank, Poetic Castle. And, you know, isn't there a Greek mythology tale about, you know, she... The goddess that was turned into you know, to lie in the river forever, she was turned into something. Anyway, I know that's there someplace. Yeah, so you know the ending. She will sleep in the bosom of the river Nye, with the wildflowers around her body, until she wakes up in the morning to feel their caresses once more alive. That brought me back to that piece of mythology there, because I'm really sure. Oh, she was turned into a swan. Yeah. I can't think of the name, but I think she was, you know, she turned into a swan or something, you know, to live forever on the river. But yeah, so that brought me back to that mythology there, that, you know, the river of the leaf. Yeah, but just amazing, his wording throughout the whole thing as she imbibes the sweet nectar of eternal ambrosia, just beautifully worded here by Poetic Picasso. This is one of my favorite ones from him. Just flows so beautifully, wonderfully worded all throughout. So bravo, bravo, Frank.
Absolutely. Great comment there, Naomi. And thank you, Frank, for sharing that with us. Much appreciated. And up next, we have Sacred Dance by Randa Yazri, and it goes like this. Longing emotions dressed in a flowing alabaster silken gown, waltzing with vitality wearing a tuxedo. Unsatisfied gazing eyes exude passionate sighs, seeking loves, carefree, serene, seafaring adventures. Eager, long-sleeved woolen gloves gently wrapped in the affectionate arms of happiness, swinging on the glorious live band of elation. Enthusiastic high-heeled shoes striding through the blessing abode ballroom, humming everlasting fancy musical stories, an ethereal garment of flirty festival fairy-led lights accompanied this divine moment, swaying with each step in a euphoric manner. The breathless found floor witnesses the incredible ceremony in crowning this memorable rendezvous of the keen, excited couple. End poem. What another beautiful write by Randa Yazri. And your thoughts, Naomi?
Yeah, you know, again, that first stanza really pulls you in. Longing emotions dressed in a flowing alabaster silken gown, waltzing with fatality wearing a tuxedo. And that's just amazing, you know, the idea that, you know, it's almost silken gown waltzing with fatality wearing a tuxedo. You know, the way that she merges to the woman and the man in that stanza, the silken gown and, you know, waltzing the fatality, and she's wearing the tuxedo. That's, you know, right there you see how they're together, how they're in sync right there. That was very, very clever. And, you know, all through, this is just an amazing, amazing write by Randa. And, wow, she can write. This girl can write. This is amazing.
Well, she really can. She really can. She's always just so talented with the imagery, you know. And I really like how she brings us into the picture. One part I found particularly clever in her write was carefree, serene, seafaring adventures. That whole stanza, not only that because of the alliteration in it, but because if you look at the painting, it actually looks like the floor that they're dancing on is wet. almost as if they're dancing on a beach where the tide came in and then pulled back away. So it worked really well with the particular artwork that she wrote to, which was a contest that Delina had ran. I really liked this all the way through, but another part I really liked was an ethereal garment of flirty festival fairy led light accompanied this divine moment, swaying with each step in a euphoric manner. That's so beautiful and delicate lines, and just very well done. All right, and wonderful, wonderful, right. We just had a great lineup of poetry tonight. And for the last poem of the night, I'm going to put my poem, which obviously you're the only person to comment. So,
well, silent tree is out there, so she'll hear it.
Oh, there you go. There you go. Always, it's always good to see silent tree. All right, this is Watery Incantation Soaring, and it goes like this. Salutations to a new day of watery incantations. Lovers meet where horizons join in feral bounty of colors blooming. Erotic enchantment persuades the mind. Flesh follows without reserve. Sensuality, a stern mistress, commands the rise of waves. Peaked and foamed. She wears the crown and controls the serpent. Petals open with the roar of the hawk, soaring to new flights of fancy. Markings of lust upon a graceful neck. Goddess coins dropped in wishing wells as slithering formations arouse the incarnate senses, gleaming wicked pleasures in the reflection of the sky. End poem.
Wow, amazing, Pam. No, you really did dig into that artwork. And, you know, we were talking earlier about the empowerment of women, and I really feel it in this poem. You know, she wears the crown and controls the serpent. Petals open with the roar of the hawk, soaring to new flights of fancy. Markings of lust upon a graceful neck, goddess coins dropped in wishing well. Yeah, it's really, really, I feel this poem is, it really marks that powerfulness, that sensuality that women have, you know, that really is, you know, power in themselves to seduce and to be, you know, sensuality incarnated. And you express it so beautifully in this poem. There's so many parts that I really liked. I loved the word slithering in the last part. A slithering formations arouse the incarnate senses, gleaming wicked pleasures in the reflection of the sky. That's awesome. You know, you really dug into that artwork and pulled out. Just a fabulous, fabulous piece. Bravo.
Thank you, Naomi. Thank you very much. And I have to say, great show tonight. Thank you so much for joining me. Thank you to Rozzy, Silent Tree, and Luke, and anybody else I missed for hanging out on the board. Thank you to everyone who wrote for the show, is listening now, or will be listening later. We truly appreciate you all. And you can join Aphasiana a half hour from now for Part Sinner, Part Saint. And, of course, make sure to check out all the topic boards and contests put up by Late Night Poets, hosts and hostesses, because you're sure to find something to inspire. And have a wonderful night, everyone. Good night, Naomi.
Good night, Pam. Good night, everybody.